For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And welcome into the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. It's on. It's on. It's on. Yes, we're on. We're
it's on.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
It's on.
It's on.
Katie doesn't remember that,
like
Tim.
Like Donkey Kong.
I do know that.
You know that.
Memorex? You don't remember the Memorex?
I don't.
I'll describe that in a minute. It's August the 9th, 2022. It's a Tuesday, 3:31 in the p.m. We have a fantastic show for all y'all here today. Welcome to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Everything is, Katie's got like a phone book for
oh,
me
yeah.
today.
There's yeah, there's a lot of
stuff.
For
got
you
a lot of homework to read here because we have a lot of guests today, and that would include. Let's see, Chris, who do we got today on our fancy show sheet here? Tom Homan, former acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement at 407. David Stokes, our good buddy, will be in here at 4:25. Chris's Corner, doing Chris's Corner.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Chris's Corner at 4:42. Speaker stump speech. Oh, and how about that? Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. Every one of these gentlemen will have a lot to say about the big news of the day, of course, involving the raid of Mar-a-Lago and what will come next. And we still live in a very dangerous world that is dealing with a lot of economic problems. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real good. I know the big news of the day is the raid on Mar-a-Lago last night. It was just breaking as we were closing out the show. I have some thoughts on that. That's actually going to be Chris's Corner today at 4:42. I'm going to give you three reasons why I believe the Democrats perpetrated this move on Donald Trump at this time during the close to the election. So a lot to talk about. Columbo and Katie show, and I learned today that there will be a marijuana initiative on the ballot, Tim. I don't think I really know your position on that. Are you for legal, recreational, medical, not at all? What is your position, Speaker Tim Jones?
Katie, what could we do with marijuana in the ballot box? What should we do with the ballot box in marijuana?
No,
there's a sounder for that.
There's a song. I gotcha.
Yes.
You put your weed
in. Yeah, we're going to put our weed in the ballot box this fall. So, Chris, you know what? If a former president of the United States who was famous for saying that he evolved his position on things. If Barack Obama could do it, so could Tim Jones, right? Because who am I? But I guess people like to listen to our opinions on these things. So, you know, being someone who was born and raised in the 70s and 80s and came from a very Midwestern, hardworking family, very Christian, Catholic-based, you know, drugs of any and all sort were verboten, you know? And I also came from a family where we had, this is going to sound weird, my mom and dad are listening, they'll get a chuckle out of this, we had all kinds of drugs lying around the Jones home all the time. Now, just so you know what I meant by that, my father is mainly retired now, but was a practicing veterinarian for almost 50 years. And, you know, it's kind of that thing, Chris, where as long as people are properly educated on something, even when it's around, you know not to abuse it. And I've used this analogy before on firearms. So my dad was never a hunter because my dad dealt with death and dying of animals in his everyday life. And so he felt no need to go out and shoot them on the weekends. No offense to any hunters. I've hunted before. I think it's an interesting sport. Never much got into it. But we always had guns around the house. They were just there with boxes of ammo. And we didn't have a ton of them, but we lived out in the sticks, and Eureka was kind of the sticks back in the 70s and 80s. And my dad was a small business owner, and would have to travel and stuff late at night sometimes. And so, you know, there was a handgun or two, mainly rifles, because my dad grew up on a farm. Same thing with drugs. You know, my dad was always on call. He was the entire staff at his veterinarian clinic back in the day. And so there were always different, quote, controlled substances around. And we were just taught, you don't touch them. You don't touch that stuff. Whatever dad leaves around the countertop or on his table downstairs or the workbench, you leave it alone. And I grew up in a family where nobody smoked. Nobody, none of my parents used nicotine. They didn't smoke. It just wasn't
no
a thing.
No
cigarettes,
yet.
No cigars.
Especially don't touch that ivermectin. That
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we were horse pasters. No. And so, Chris, I guess long story short, I was always wary of things like things that you would smoke, especially something called marijuana, you know? When I got into the legislature, the person that introduced me to a different point of view on that was, guess who?
Who's that?
Paul Kurtman.
Okay.
Before you go...
Do you know the story?
I just told you the story? I want to say this. Paul Kurtman was filling in with me last week on Columbo and Katie. I hope he is listening. I pray he is listening because... I told him that he was the person that changed your mind, Tim, about legalization of marijuana, and he was floored. So, Paul, if you're listening, send out the alert.
Was he really?
He was floored. He was like, really? I cannot believe that I changed Tim's mind on that. He was like, one day I hope to hear that story, so I'm texting him now so he can listen.
I didn't feel like Paul Kurtman. So Paul Kurtman was the one who filed the bill for the Republican Party in the Missouri House in the mid-2000s to legalize marijuana. Mm. And I think it was medicinal. I think that's what Paul filed. I think he filed the medicinal marijuana bill. And I thought that was so odd. I'm like, wait a minute. Here's a really clean-cut guy who comes from a very Christian-based family. His dad's a pastor. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps. And Paul is like one of the most straight-laced dudes I know. But I learned that Paul Kurtman has a very, very strong libertarian streak and is a man of his core convictions. And so I'm like, okay, he's not doing this for any profit or gain. He's doing it for a philosophical reason, which very few people do anything for in Jefferson City or Washington, D.C. And so I decided to listen to Paul Kurtman on this issue and learn from Paul Kurtman. And he's the one, gang, that sort of moved me. And I, as majority leader and speaker, ended up having to make decisions to move that bill forward, and we did move that bill forward up until the point I termed out.
Here's my concerns with the legalization, and it was mentioned last hour on Katie and Columbo. What was the point? I missed what it was, Katie, about legalization. Oh, about
taking a test?
Taking a test that you don't know the level of intoxication of a person that's on marijuana. And the other thing is, you know, Colorado legalized marijuana and people were saying that that will, you know, take the black market out of it or whatever. But it's actually done the exact opposite because the taxes on legal marijuana are so high that it's still cheaper to go down into the ghetto or anywhere else to buy the same grade of weed practically that you're buying in a dispensary. And there's always, there is the comparison to, well, it's the same as alcohol. You know, people just like to have it as a recreational thing and all of that. But you don't see Mexican drug cartels, shooting up neighborhoods and things trying to bring alcohol into the United States. But you do see that with weed and other drugs. So there is a comparison when it comes to the effects that it has on you, you know, a little buzz from a glass of wine or smoking a joint. But when it comes to the underworld aspect of it, I think you still have that and it encourages that because of the taxes.
But alcohol used to have an underworld and used to have gang warfare built around back during Prohibition.
Yes.
And so I don't think the cartels are so much into marijuana trafficking anymore as they are into fentanyl and a lot harder drugs. And the way I look at it is, if we allow people to have access to alcohol, which honestly could be a controlled substance if we wanted it to be, and if we allow people to have access to narcotics like Oxycontin and all of the other drugs, which they're not unlawful. You just have to get a prescription for them. I feel that there's ways to control the marijuana trade as well because marijuana is a naturally occurring substance. It grows, and one of its nicknames is ditchweed. It grows in the wild, in the land of the United States of America. I guess I've evolved to the point where I don't understand prohibiting something that naturally occurs in nature.
And I have to add to one point of yours,
I don't think you then just forget about it and let people do whatever they want all the time. But I don't think I don't think it should be illegal is kind of where I am. And I know I differ with a lot of people. Like Bob Onder would be arguing vociferously with me right now because he thinks it's a gateway drug.
And my concern, too, is, you know, you look at America right now, the number one cause of death for 18-year-olds to, like, 30-year-olds is fentanyl, which is not marijuana. I do understand that. But we have a serious opiate drug crisis in this country and a lot of other problems dealing with substances. And I just question just how wise is it to add one more substance to the mix for people to be able to intoxicate themselves, especially when you don't have a way to reliably test the effects of people.
And I get that sentiment. And my only rebuttal to that would be whenever we're talking about weed that a dealer is going to sell you, that is the drug
that
could be laced with fentanyl. When we talk about a dispensary selling you weed, it is completely organic and taken apart with a mixture of things that it's only the weed strain that you're looking for that they're going to be able to sell you. Yeah. Nothing with Oxycontin or fentanyl or heroin or anything else.
But if you're going to buy weed and it's laced with fentanyl, you're going to pay more than you would an ounce or whatever than ordinarily
would. You think you would, but the thing about it is that
I know
these
of
people,
any experience or
the people that are selling the weed don't know that it's laced with fentanyl. Yeah. So it's coming in from different locations, laced with fentanyl, laced with heroin, mixed in with these other drugs, and the person that's selling it to you doesn't even know that it has those strains in it.
One of the things that also changed my mind, have either of you visited an actual dispensary?
Yes.
Have you been to a dispensary?
Yes.
So I went to one in Colorado, and Colorado is way ahead of us way ahead of Missouri on marijuana distribution and selling. And I was expecting something not nearly as sophisticated or as professional as what I saw. And the name of the place was – they all have funny names. The name of this place was Strawberry Fields. Not because of the Beatles song, though. It had to do with a park that one of the owners grew up in outside of Denver. Yeah. It was actually a real place. And I was amazed at how organized and professional – and well-educated all of the people there were and all of the amazing amounts of regulations that they had to comply with. It was like anything else dealing with a substance that you can't – there's a million substances we can all legally abuse ourselves with, and I just don't know – I don't understand the stigma anymore around a naturally occurring weed at this point.
Mm. Well – I think you can make that point. I know weed is not laced with anything. I haven't heard of many instances where weed was laced with fentanyl. And I know you can make that same argument to effect with cocaine and crack and all that. I mean, it's poppy seeds. It's from a flower, even though it is processed and all that. So, I mean, you can make that argument.
Many deaths are related to cocaine? We'd have to look at how many deaths are related to cocaine and harder drugs and compare them to weed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we?
We would. I think we should. There's different levels of alcohol, too. You can't, because of the regulations around alcohol, I don't believe you can bottle alcohol that is 300 proof, for instance. You know, there's certain, alcohol is massively regulated because it is a dangerous substance when used the wrong way. You know,
you can die
just like anything else. So, you ever see Leaving Las Vegas? Oof, rough movie. Nicolas Cage?
I haven't.
He drinks himself to death, and it goes into great detail. And if anybody's an alcoholic, I would urge them to watch that movie because it'll help you get off of it very quickly. So, anyway, interesting discussion because it's going to be on the ballot here in the state of Missouri. And I bet a lot of people will make a lot of money on both sides of the issue. All right, Marty's hanging on. We will talk to him next right after we return on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Yeah, we're talking about putting your weed in it today because Mary Jane is going to be on the ballot here in the state of Missouri. You're thinking, well, don't we already do that? We're like, medicinally we do. And I think medicinally is in giant quotation marks because I think if you want to get it, you can get it without
somebody
much of a problem.
White House has been smoking the devil's lettuce.
But now we're going to question. Now we're going to put the question on the ballot of whether it should just be recreational.
I should have told you Sorry, Katie, I called you my cat, Sadie. Sorry. Katie, sorry, I apologize for that deeply. There's a song by Rick James that came out in the late 70s called Mary Jane, where he alludes to marijuana. I mean, it's a veiled. You listen to the lyrics, you know that's what he's talking about.
So, I don't have that, but I do have
Peter Tosh. Legalize it. That's the theme song of the National Marijuana Movement. Eben Thampy, if he was listening, would probably...
Eben Thampy, yeah. Buddy Eben Thampy is probably very excited
today.
He
is a huge weed... What would you call him, a weed lobbyist?
Advocate.
Although...
He's a weed lobbyist.
You know what, though? You know what? I may have to retract that statement because Eben may not be happy about this because Eben wanted this to go through the legislative process and not be necessarily a ballot initiative that's just some random dude drafts. I know Eben wanted it to be statutory. Yeah. So if there were problems, the legislature could fix it, not constitutional, where you got to run another constitutional amendment if there's an issue. Yeah. So, but yeah. Eben, you know what? We should have him on and ask him about this at some point. We can give you his number, Katie.
Sure.
Get him on. I know Marty's been hanging on patiently. Let's see what he has to say about the subject. Marty, good afternoon. Welcome to Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Oh, did he not?
Come on, Marty.
Marty!
No. Hold on, let's see.
Is he still there?
Katie's going to... I'm gonna see if he's still there.
Katie's going to check. Marty has a comment about marijuana and the legalization of it. And I don't know what the comment is or where he's going. Is he still there?
He's not there. Marty, please call back.
Marty, if you holler us back in the next 6 minutes, we can speak with you or we can talk to you later on in the show.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably talk about the big story of the yesterday and today, the border crossing, which is going to be, or not the border crossing, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which is going to be my Chris's corner topic at 4:42. Tim, I'm telling you, I'm just amazed the more and more details come out about this, that the Justice Department, the FBI, raided a former president's home over a dispute, basically, over documents that his lawyers and the Justice Department had an ongoing discussion about. And then I heard last hour on the Colombo and Katie show that these documents may have been declassified as well. This is just an unprecedented action.
Can you imagine, Chris, and I know we're going to talk very deeply about this, but can you imagine if the Trump organization produces a document where Donald Trump wrote somebody or emailed somebody or texted somebody and said, I want all these documents right here, unclassified, and then some Yahoo staffer forgot to file the paperwork.
Yeah.
But if they can produce that and it's dated properly – this Department of Justice, no one is ever going to respect them on anything ever again, because that would have been the worst failure of failing to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah, and this is so blatantly partisan, and I'm like busting at the seams to give my Chris's corner, but I won't give too much about it. But wow, the Justice Department is just out of control. I mean, how many times have we seen them seem to bend over backwards and to protect Democrats and Democratic administrations? Donald Trump, they're having a dispute with him over so-called classified documents when Hillary Clinton destroyed and used some erasure product on her phone to clean it.
And a hammer.
and had her own private server in her own home communicating with God knows who, doing who knows what. And the president of the United States, I mean, even whatever you think of Donald Trump, I mean, and you hear this all the time on both sides, respect the office. This is a complete disrespect of the office to raid his home like he's some mafia don that they're trying to arrest for racketeering and murder and running some criminal enterprise. This is a shameful day in American history. It really is.
Well, I'm glad you're doing your corner on that at 4:42. I'm going to do a follow-up, and I'm going to listen very closely to what you say, so I'm not repetitious, but I believe, take it in a little bit different direction and talk about the tyranny of the executive and how this relates to kind of a broader governmental issue that we've also seen, and this is the perfect example of that. So Chris and I will give you our thoughts about one of the biggest stories of our lifetime, And I think people need to realize that. This is a big deal. This is not just parlor and political games. This has to do with the crux of the matter. And, you know, Admiral Chuck Williams texted me out of the blue last night and said, Tim, I know you're going to heavily focus on the political ramifications, which you should, but there's national security concerns here as well that you need to step back and think about. And I was like, ooh, he's right. The rest of the world is watching this. And so I asked him, I said, Admiral, we haven't had you on in a while. Would you like to come on sometime this week? And Katie, I think he's available Friday. And we can maybe book him. He wanted to talk about that. Oh, we got Marty back here, Chris.
Okay.
Marty, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. You got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, no problem. Good afternoon. I had to get out and get my dog out of doggy daycare. She was in doggy prison.
Very good.
But anyway, to legalize marijuana, this is the problem with it. When you're in the construction industry, most all of the labor force that you're working with is drug tested. And marijuana is still listed, I believe, as a Title I narcotic, I believe.
I think that's correct.
Until the government changes that, introducing marijuana one state by another state, whatever, I'm a state's rights guy, but you already have a decimated work crew or workforce. You can't get enough people. Can't get enough drivers. And they're all subject to pre-employment drug testing.
Good point.
They're not going to pass. So you've opened up a whole different can of worms when you legalize this. And Tim, you're right. When you say it is a weed that grows wild, when you go to Jamaica, we went horseback riding in the mountains, and it's covered with the stuff.
Yeah.
You go down into the villages, and there's nothing but a bunch of people, even though it's illegal there, standing around selling you marijuana. They're lazy. They're sleeping in the street. No different than what we have on street corners begging for money right now. I know I'm kind of on the fence. If the states want to do it, okay, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But there's always going to be an impact to when it's done. And how are you going to regulate around that? You can't.
Yeah, insightful comments, Marty. Definitely something, definitely several more things for us to think about. Marty, thanks for calling the show. Oh, appreciate you.
Did you guys get drug tested?
For what?
For pre-employment drug testing.
For what? For which job?
Here.
For your job.
Here?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of places do pre-employment drug testing.
Yeah, I know.
And now you're going to have more people unemployed.
Yeah, that's why we work here, because it's not a big corporation. Thanks, Marty. We appreciate you very much.
Good for you. I love the station.
We'll see
you.
Thank you so much, Marty. Yep. Yeah,
there it is.
Yep. Joe's sitting there going, yeah. I wish they'd stop talking about
just
this.
Yeah. Just mute it.
We're all holding our breath.
You put your weed in it. All right. More
you
weed.
Put your weed in
more
there.
Weed talk with Chris, Katie, and Tim. When we come back, Tom Homan is going to join us. He's the former acting director of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. And we'll talk about the open borders betrayal of Biden and more when we return at 101.9-94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.